And I didn't realize, I guess I'm just naive, like how intimidating it could be to just kind of walk into a tackle shop and expect to get treated equally. So I think the more we break down that, like that was really eye-opening to me. I just had no idea.
Welcome to the Woman Angler and Adventurer Podcast, inspiring real women with a passion for fishing in the outdoors to go get their adventure on. Now, here's your host, Master Captain Angie Scott.
Welcome to the Woman Angler and Adventurer. I'm your host, Angie Scott. Today we have a special treat for you. We're sharing a clip from my conversation with Charlie Levine, editor-in-chief at Angler's Journal magazine. This clip is a sneak peek at an upcoming episode of the Angler's Journal podcast, where Charlie and I discuss the unique approach of Angler's Journal, the importance of storytelling, and the evolving landscape of women's role in the fishing world. So grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and enjoy this engaging discussion between Charlie and me. If you wouldn't mind just to take a couple minutes just to give our listeners a little taste of what Angler's Journal is all about.
Yeah, I'd love to. So Angler's Journal, we're a quarterly publication, and we're a little different than the typical how-to, where-to type fishing magazine. You know, we're not so much about how to tie knots and sharpen hooks. It's more about the unique people you meet and the cool places you go, and really just the passion behind why we spend all this time and money and resources to go fishing. And you know, we publish really good photography. We have sort of more of a literary approach too. We work with some well-known writers, and we cover everything. We cover salt, fresh, fly, spin. Like there's, if it's a cool fishing story, I'm totally open to it.
Yeah.
So anglersjournal.com is the website where you can sort of get a taste of what we do, but to really understand it, you got to get a magazine. Mm-hmm. We still believe in print, and there's still people who love to read, and you know, we're trying new mediums. We're doing more with video and things, but yeah, that sort of long form story is our bread and butter. And it's been fun for me. I've been working in fishing magazines pretty much my entire career. You know, I had a brief stint in newspaper, but that was sort of not my bag. Death, murder, and rape and mayhem. I couldn't do it. I respect people who do, but you know, I grew up, my dad was he had a 6-pack license, and we had a 40-foot sport fish in Connecticut. So I grew up around boats and fishing, and after I got out of the newspaper world and wasn't sure what the heck I was gonna do, I landed a job at Soundings Magazine, which is a regional boating magazine. And the editor there at the time was a guy named Bill Sisson. And I worked there briefly, but Bill and I always stayed in touch. He's just a really cool guy. He was always a mentor of mine. And Bill is the one who launched Angler's Journal 10 years ago. We're just about to celebrate our 10-year anniversary. And so it's been kind of neat, like sort of came full circle. I started working at Active Interest Media in 2020. And then Bill has decided to semi-retire. So he kind of stepped down from the editor-in-chief role and sort of groomed me to take his spot. And it's been great. We still work together, and he's a fantastic writer. And, you know, he's really built an amazing crew of freelancers. You know, I was in prep for we're doing a special anniversary issue, and I went through all of our prior magazines and counted up how many different writers and photographers we've worked with, and it was over 100. Mm. So we've got a lot of different voices of all types, and it's just been fun. You know, a lot of fishing magazines are very regional focused or species focused. Mm-hmm. And this has been great because we could write about anything we feel like doing as long as it's a cool story.
Yeah, that's great. Story first. I've seen the publication, and the photography is amazing. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes for the Woman Angler version of this that will be coming out, so people can go check it out.
Thank you. I'll do the same for the podcast too.
Awesome.
We're always open to story ideas too. It doesn't matter what the person is or any of it. Like I don't, it's kind of like I was listening. This is a weird analogy, but I was watching Monday Night Football with the Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. You know, they have like their little Manning cast.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the guests they've had on, because they've had all kinds of different people, you know, Marshawn Lynch and famous actresses. And he said, as long as you like football, I don't care. I'll talk to anybody, you know. And I feel the same way about fishing. It's it's an open boat. Everybody's invited.
Very cool.
Inclusion is a big thing at the company I work at. So Angler's Journal is owned by a group called Active Interest Media that has a whole bunch of magazines in various fields. And we've always tried to get more people of color and females in the magazine. But my take as an editor, you know, when I'm sniffing around for interesting stories, it's like, I don't want to put this person in the magazine just because they're a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be a compelling story, right?
Right.
So that's always been, and we've had some great stories. One of our writers, Kathy Newman, she's been a journalist a long, long time and worked at National Geographic and some other really big titles. And she did a historical deep dive on women anglers going back to like the 1800s. Mm. And we rounded up all these really cool old black and white photos of women in these like long dresses with, you know, holding up a stringer full of crappie or something. And it was a really eye-opening story. And, you know, now, and we also work with a lot of female writers, which, you know, I have no problems working with anyone as long as they can do a good, you know, write a nice story, and a lot of female photographers. But I guess, you know, it just, as far as stories go, you know, what are some of the things you've seen or heard where you're like, holy moly, this woman is really amazing and deserves more attention?
There's a lady that does crabbing out of South Carolina. She's online as Casual Crabbing with Tia.
And, oh, I've seen her. Is she in Charleston?
Yes, yeah. And she is just really, this is one of my favorite episodes that I've ever done. Just her story was so amazing. She worked in the restaurant business and, you know, kind of got really unhealthy, had, you know, led kind of an unhealthy lifestyle. And, you know, her big goal was she was going to open her own bar, and kind of fell into this crabbing thing. She'd lived there all her life, but hadn't ever really done it. And it totally transformed her entire life. And now she started out doing Airbnb experiences and ended up winning some big award through Airbnb, got flown out to California. She's been on all sorts of big, you know, media show, TV shows and things like that at this point, and her business is just growing to where she has other people working for her. And it was just so amazing to listen to her tell her story. But there's been a lot of stories like that over the years.
Sure. And then, you know, the other thing I struggle with is some of these quote influencers now, like, I don't know how really fishy all of them are. Mm-hmm. some of them are more like models or something.
Right.
And I get, you know, they reach out to me every once in a while. They're like, you should write a story about us in your magazine. And I'll look them up and I'm like, why? Because you can hold a fish? Like, what's your deal?
Yeah.
And what is your take on that? Do you think that's good for the sport or?
Yeah, no, I mean, not so much. you do have to, it's kind of disappointing sometimes when you come across those types of people that you're talking about. And what disappoints me the most is kind of you go on their social media and they've got tens of thousands of followers, but really the followers are there just for the photos. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're not there to like learn something valuable or anything like that. It's just for the images. And I don't know. I'd have a hard time.
Yeah, I feel like it might be sending the wrong message for younger girls too.
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes. And not to say, I mean, look, there's plenty of other ladies out there who are models and are really incredible anglers too, or what have you. But some of them, it's just sort of like, I don't know if that's really what we need. Like, I think we need more people like you and Debbie and all that. I feel like that's really how you're making a change and, you know, talking to young people and getting them into it. And I brought this up a number of times too, you know, at ICAST a couple of years ago, there was that summit that Shimano and a couple other brands were involved in about getting more women into fishing. And I didn't realize, I guess I'm just naive, like how intimidating it could be to just kind of walk into a tackle shop and expect to get treated equally. So I think the more we break down that, like, that was really eye-opening to me. I just had no idea.
Yeah, I know RBFF had done a lot of research and presented some stuff. And one thing I found interesting from that was that you know, women who fish have a totally different goal in mind than men who fish. You know, women are there for just, you know, to be outdoors and the experience, whereas men, their main motivation is to catch fish. It was just interesting. That was like, the actual catch a fish was like number 4 or 5 or something on the list. So.
Wow. Well, and there's the stat that blew me away was how many kids are being taught how to fish by their mom or grandma or some woman in their life as opposed to, you know, a male.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where it's super important to have these conversations and to see what we can do to make it less intimidating, because the more women that we have in fishing, the more opportunities it's going to be to teach the younger generations, and that's what we really need to be focusing on to keep the sport healthy and alive, and having people buying fishing licenses and conservation support. It all ties in.
It does. And it is nice. It's growing. There's a lot of different groups out there. You know, I'm trying to get my wife to get more involved. It's sort of funny. She likes to fish. I use the word like, but she's sort of more like what you're saying. And, you know, she's just happy being out on the boat, and she'll bring a book and just be happy. Whereas I get a little too into it, or like, grab this, do this, do that. So we don't fish together a lot, which I guess I should, I probably sound like a jerk, but I think that's something, if I could get her to go out with like you or, you know, people like yourself, I think she would really be into it more.
Yeah. And that's a common story. I mean, that's not, we hear that quite a bit. And so that's why too, like, women, it's important to have these groups that are opportunities where you can get together with other like-minded ladies and have those opportunities out on the water. So, you know, the LBA, that's a big draw for a lot of ladies that want to do some competitive fishing as opposed to, you know, going with one of the more male-dominated options out there, because it can be intimidating to be a girl getting paired up with a guy, you know, and sometimes there's issues on the flip side. The guy's wives don't want a lady in the boat. And so that's also an interesting perspective.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have to check myself even when I fish with kids too. It's like, just chill out. You're out here to have, like, I want them to have fun. I want them to enjoy it. I want them to want to go again. You know, I don't want to ruin it by getting all bent out of shape if, you know, they lose a fish or something. Like, so
yeah,
something as I've gotten older, I think I've gotten better at, but I'm sure I could, there's still room to improve.
We all have room to improve for sure.
Yeah. I will share a funny story though. The first time, so I proposed to my wife in Mexico many, many years ago. And we were in Isla Mujeres, which is right off of Cancun. And we were going to go fishing. My buddy has a charter boat down there. And it's a really good sailfish destination. Like, you can catch, you know, 30 sailfish a day. And so we were going out in the boat. My wife had never held an offshore rod or anything. And so I gave her like a 5-minute spiel. This is how you hold it. This is how you, you know, go into free spool, keep your thumb on the spool, feed the fish, da, 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 da. And she was like, okay. So we get out there and all of a sudden we're on them. It's a huge bait ball. There's sailfish cutting everywhere. I mean, we're doubled up and I get really crazy, right? And she doesn't know what to do. And I start to raise my voice and the mate, this guy from North Carolina, just goes, "Charlie, you go stand over there." He pointed to the other corner of the boat. He's like, "Let me show Diane how to fish." And it was great, you know, because he was very calm and he teaches people to fish all the time. And I was like, it was very eye-opening.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and sometimes like we listen to people other than our spouse or partner differently, right?
Than
we
sure.
do too. So after that, like he worked with her, and before you know it, you know, she was catching fish, and it was just like we were having so much more fun. So that was very eye-opening.
Yeah, yeah. That's I actually, for my day job now, I work for Freedom Boat Club, and sometimes I'll do new member trainings because I have my captain's license. And so when people join the club, we have them go through some initial training to make sure that they're going to be safe out there on boating on the water. And it's funny how many husbands and wives like opt to do their training separate. So they're not.
I like that.
There
at
That's
the probably
same
a good
time.
Idea.
Yeah.
And I do feel, you know, you often hear, especially offshore fishing circles, that women are better anglers because they're better listeners. You hear that a lot, and I do think it's true. I think guys, kind of like what you were saying before, sort of a macho thing sometimes. It's like asking someone for directions, right? You don't usually want to do that for whatever reason. But now with GPS, I don't remember the last time I had to ask
yeah.
someone for directions. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. And one of the things that comes up a lot when we have these conversations is, you know, a word that gets said a lot is stereotypes. And one interesting thing is that we've talked about recently is, you know, a stereotype's a stereotype. So there are some women who are really great listeners, but at the same time, there are some women who are not. But in
sure.
general, absolutely, I think that is kind of a common reason why, you know, I've had guides on the show that have said that they like they're, you know, having their female clients better because sometimes the male clients don't want to listen. They think they know what to do.
Everything.
And yeah. And another thing that you hear a lot is women tend to be more patient as well. And sometimes that can be an advantage when it comes to fishing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, this has been a lot of fun, Angie. It's great to finally get a podcast done with you, and I'm glad we got to meet at ICAST, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you at the show again next summer. But thank you so much for taking the time.